So in the introduction to Healthy at Home, you start by describing your experience prior to being a doctor of owning an herb shop and an herb company, and sort of meditating on the power and the limitations that you witnessed with natural medicine. Can you share a little bit of that with our listeners today?
Well, sure. I mean, I grew up really in a family that was, you know, we didn't rush to the doctor for things. There was we weren't adverse to using the physician when you needed to, but because we were basically healthy kids, my parents were of the mind that, you know, putting you to bed and letting you rest and sort of symptom management was mostly what you needed, except for things that really were serious. And so I was long attracted to herbal medicine and natural medicine, went to massage school, studied midwifery, and even martial arts training. I loved martial arts. I was in Taekwondo for many, many years, and it also introduced me to an Eastern philosophy of healing and medicine. And so I was strongly attracted to this. And in southern New Mexico, in Las Cruces, I opened up an herb shop, and I did massage and also made herbal remedies and did consulting where people would come in and see me with a variety of complaints, and I would mix up different herbal preparations for them. And my gosh, I have to tell you, I felt so good about the work I was doing because, you know, kids with eczema, you'd take them off dairy and you'd give them some natural herbs and some topicals, and they would just be like different kids. And women with PMS and cramps and things like this, there was just so many ways to help them. And people would come in with conditions that were very serious, and they would want to use natural remedies. And I realized quite quickly, actually, over the years, I mean, it did take years, but it really grew on me that there was a real time and place for the heavy hand of conventional medicine, and that I wanted to be able to offer that. So I went to school and went to medical school in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then went to medical school and then studied family medicine so that I would be able to offer both. And as a physician, I saw the strength of conventional medicine, and I saw its limitations where, you know, I tell you, you just map every ill to a pill. It's a mess. Is the answer is a pharmaceutical medication or surgery. And I realized that it was the marriage of these more natural approaches to health, married with this stronger hand of conventional medicine, that to me made the most sense. And it's eventually what led me to integrative medicine.
And you talk in your latest book, Healthy at Home, about how you feel like we're really losing basic knowledge of how to maintain health and to treat common health conditions at home. That you give the example of parents who aren't able anymore to distinguish between mild conditions and ones where they should really be going to urgent care. Can you talk about why you think we're seeing that loss of knowledge and how this book seems to be one part of the remedy for that?
I think that many of us don't live in our homes with our grandparents anymore. Or even great-grandparents. My children were blessed to have great-grandparents alive, you know, to have my son, when he was 27 years old, still had a great-grandparent alive in the world and was in contact with her on a regular basis. And so when we lived with our parents and our children would get sick, our parents had already gone through this with us when we were children and had witnessed things that, you know, made them concerned or suggested something was serious, or seeing things that were very common and could be treated at home. For a lot of young parents now, and I would even add a lot of young single parents, it's them and their child or children kind of alone. And when your child has the 102 fever and doesn't feel well at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's a really scary thing. There's nobody there that you can just ask, or you could just go wake up in the next room and ask to sort of say, you know, what do you think we should do?
Well, and one of the things I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that I think that in I see less of this, like in the southern part of New Mexico where I lived, where you had many Latina mothers living with their parents. I mean, there was multi-generations in the home. And actually, when a grandmother would say, I think you need to take them to the doctor. As a physician, when grandma said it, I said, if your mom thinks you should bring that child in, I really, you know, I will get up at 11 o'clock and I will meet you down at the office. That had a lot of weight for me. Grandmas tend to have actually a lot of wisdom around discerning when children are ill that many times young parents don't have.
I was just going to mention that you describe a parent alone without family support, or we could even imagine someone elderly without family support.
Yeah.
And they do have the internet, and which gives them access to infinite information, but really not information that is prioritized. And what I really love about Healthy at Home is that it's not just a list of all the possible things that could be treated for conditions, but the actual things that you have seen through decades of experience to be working. And I'd love to touch on that, but we're going to invite some people into the studio to talk about how people can get a copy of the book, and we'll be right back with you in a couple minutes, Dr. Lodog.
Thank you.
So we're here to remind you that you're listening to a very unique form of radio here at 90.7. We are the oldest independent community radio station in the world.
In the world.
And we have been on the air for over 45 years. Because of you. And we need you right now to call at 877-500-5266. And either join us for the first time, especially those of you who've been listening to us for 46 years. We won't talk about that.
No.
Particularly those of you who just came to town and just have discovered us. Or those of you who've been listening for 46 years and it's time to renew your membership. You can do that right now by calling 877-500-5266.
Could you repeat that number?
877-500-5266. You can also join by going to your computer, getting online, going to kboo.fm, and clicking on the tip jar, and that will make you a member of KBOO in good standing. And I want to say, before I let Joe say another word, because he talked a lot in the last few minutes.
So. I have nothing to say.
I just want to say my own personal feelings about this show, which I listen to every morning when I get off the air from doing my show. And I really appreciate the show. I've learned an awful lot over all the years that David's been doing it. And actually, I first met David because he was my engineer on Locus Focus many years ago. And it was exciting to see him spin off and do his own show and discover that he was actually a naturopathic doctor and knew an awful lot about this stuff. And he brings really amazing guests every week to talk about health issues and sometimes tying them into kind of political issues as well that you won't hear anyplace else. And not only that, but a lot of these guests write books, and you can get a copy of this book.
Yes, you can get a copy. This is really a great, actually, I've been looking through this, Healthy at Home, a very practical guide to staying well and doing it without prescriptions by a really good, authentic, this is important to realize, authentic mainline medical doctor. This is the sort of thing you need to do. This is the sort of stuff you need to read. And you can have this book for what? What do we want from people? A mere $60 minimum pledge. And you'll love this book, and it's good for you, and literally good for you. And it is so important to support the station, to be directly involved in the process of educating yourself and the community around health issues, around political issues, around social issues, you name it. KBOO does it. The best music, by the way, in the world as well. 877-500-5266. I want you to get that phone in your hand, 877-500-5266.
Well, I was just thinking about something that separates us from all those other public radio stations that are asking for money at the same time as that we are asking for money.
Money.
We are run by volunteers. We are, as we say, volunteer power.
Wait a minute. I'm not being paid?
I got news for you. You're not going to get paid today, Joe.
Ah!
We do this because we love it. We believe in it. We want to share everything that we care about so passionately with you. And we need you to return that passion, that caring, that sharing by calling right now at 877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO. And I do believe we're going to return to David and his guest and learn a lot more about how to be healthy at home.
We're back with Dr. Tiarona Lodog, the author of Healthy at Home, Get Well, and Stay Well Without Prescriptions. Dr. Lodog, one of the main areas I think people are concerned about is treating infections, respiratory infections, bladder infections, all sorts of, or even infections of cuts and wounds. Let's start with the benefits of finding alternatives to antibiotics when you can. Obviously, antibiotics are super useful and also extremely overused. Can you talk about some of the downsides of always opting to antibiotics first?
Right. First of all, I think people have forgotten what blessing it is to be able to mount a response to an infection. And the body's response to the infection when we are healthy is generally a fever. And the fever is designed to rev up the immune system, and also by increasing the body's temperature, you decrease the ability of bacteria to replicate. So it serves twofold purpose. It slows down the infection, and it also mobilizes your own warriors, if you will, to fight off the infection. So people are forever going, oh my God, I have a fever, it's a terrible thing. And I'm like, no, it's a good thing. The danger is when people can't mount fevers. As you know, 80-year-old people seldom ever mount a fever. They can't mount that big immune response, which is what makes infections very dangerous for them. Antibiotics, to me, other than their own human, I'd say that they are the modern warriors of our time. People used to die from infections, serious infections, quite often. And today we have a range of antibiotics that can treat a wide range of serious infections. The problem, however, is that we are seeing increasing numbers of bacteria and other pathogens, bad invaders, that are no longer sensitive to the antibiotic drug. And when we say antibiotic resistance, that we mean that it's resistant to three or more antibiotics that it used to be sensitive to. So, this is a dangerous thing. We now have methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, right? MRSA, most people have heard of this, used to be more commonly acquired in the hospital. Now it's in the community. So it's escaped the hospital. It's in the community. And more people die now every year in the United States of MRSA infections than they do of AIDS. And we don't talk about this enough. We don't talk about the fact that antibiotics, we don't really have any new ones in the pipeline. There are not any new great antibiotics that pharmaceutical companies are about ready to release. We have what we have, and we have to use it wisely. So instead of turning to an antibiotic for viral infections and ear infections in little children, we need to really learn, how do we support the body? How do we use natural approaches for minor and limit infections and save the antibiotics for when they're really needed? People are concerned about healthcare dollars and expenditure in this country. Antibiotic resistance organisms and the misuse of antibiotics in humans, we're not even talking about their use in animals at this point and livestock, but just in animals, costs the American taxpayer more than $20 billion a year. And there will be a time, if we do not get this under control with how we are using antibiotics, there will become a time, not if, but when, we have organisms that are no longer susceptible to any of our antibiotics.
And that's not to mention the possible link between the overuse of antibiotics and the increase in allergies and autoimmunity.
The whole thing with the hygiene hypothesis, which to me, I'm a pretty strong fan of that hypothesis, actually. I think there's a lot of merit to it. But part of it is that it is your early exposure to lots of germs and worms and all kinds of things that train the immune system to discern what is harmful and really serious and what is not. And when you have taken everything now, you fight every infection, people use antibacterial soaps that are, supposed to kill 99.9% of all bacteria. Children are born in hospitals and not at home. We give 24 vaccinations in the first few years of life. And I'm not saying these things are all bad, but what I'm saying is, when you look at the totality of those interventions, some which have been very good, others which probably are not as necessary, now the body responds to pollens and mold or things in food and sees these as something potentially dangerous, which is why we're seeing an increase in allergies, asthma, and eczema. And we also then weight our immune system in an abnormal way so that we begin to see more autoimmune diseases. I would remind you, in countries where they're, you know, we would probably consider them not as hygienic as we are, they have more parasitic infections, worms, you know, things like this. They actually have virtually no allergy, and autoimmune diseases are almost unheard of. So it's trying to find the balance there, you know, trying to find a balance between prevention, sanitation, and hygiene, and also not overdoing it to the point where the body then responds in a negative way. I used to joke that it was a great day when my kids came home with dirt on their pants.
Well,
that meant they were out playing outside.
That's a great indicator. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably really wanting to hear about some of your great treatment protocols, because reading the book, you have all these great recipes, which made me very enthusiastic about trying them. So when we're done with our next membership pitch, then I'd like to bring you back and we'll talk a little bit more about some treatments.
Sure.
So Barbara and Joe, I think, are going to talk a little bit about how you can get a copy for $60 of Healthy at Home.
Yeah, and it's really a neat book. I've been looking through it here while I've been doing this pitching thing, and it's a very interesting book, and it's authoritative. It's not woo-woo. It's not weird-weird. It's actually very practical advice. And for $60 contribution or more, you can get this book absolutely free as a thank you gift. Won't you right now, before you do anything else, and while we're pitching and making noise, won't you pick up your telephone and call 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. I'm going to repeat that again because I think I say it too fast. 877-500-5266. If you make that call, you assure yourself not only of the ineffable virtue of being a supporter of KBOO Radio, but of the continued existence of KBOO. So do it now. We always depend on people like you. We don't have government money. We don't have, you may not notice this, but we got no commercials. This is it. Three times a year we come and whine at you. Won't you please make the whining worthwhile, turn it into an adventure for yourself, and make a contribution. $60 or more, $60 gets you healthy at home if you want it. It's really a good deal. It's a lovely thank you gift. I think this is an opportunity for you to support the community as a whole, because that's what KBOO is.
In fact, KBOO is about being healthy. And it's about a healthy community. And what
healthy
is a
healthy mind, healthy body?
Healthy community comes from self-empowerment. It comes from taking care of ourselves and taking care of each other. It comes from being informed. It comes from taking action based on being informed. And it all starts with getting the kinds of information. And more than that, really a sense of community that you get when you listen to KBOO. And I remember back to my lonely days when I was living in Sandy, Oregon, back in the 70s, and I was feeling isolated, and most of my neighbors
very different
values than I had. This was long before Sandy became the metropolis it is today. And my lifeline was listening to KBOO, and I would listen to KBOO all the time when I was out there. And I'd been listening to KBOO when I lived in Portland before that, but I thought it really started to matter to me in a way that I could never imagine a radio station mattering. And later when I came back to Portland to live, one of the first things I did was to become a volunteer and then a staff member at KBOO. And KBOO connects us in a way that I don't think any other kind of media does. It's so immediate because here we are, real live people talking, voices, most of us who live in the community, some of us who are your neighbors. In fact, I often run into people around town at the grocery store or whatever who recognize my voice and say, I hear you on KBOO. And it makes me feel like we are just our big family here of KBOO. And you can join that family, and you're listening to us, and so you're part of the family, but you're sort of a more fringe part of the family. When you call 877-500-5266, become part of the immediate family of KBOO.
It is more than a smattering of mattering. It is an important and central feature in the progressive movement in Portland. That's KBOO. That's not exaggeration. That's actual truth. And you have a role to play as a listener and as a supporter. Now is the moment when we come to you and ask you to make a contribution of whatever significance, however you can afford it. $60, $70, whatever. $60 gets you healthy at home, and it's a good book. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266.
And you can also join online by going to kboo.fm and clicking on the tip jar in the upper right-hand corner. And then you can look down the page and see all the interesting programming that we are going to be having
throughout
the day.
Color there.
And it's color. And we get this great banner at the top of the page. And then at the bottom of the page, there's this Max train, an animated Max train that goes along. And my cat, would, when she was a kitten, she'd sit on my lap and she'd follow the Max train. And it was her favorite thing. She loved watching the cable website.
So it's good for your dog.
So you can, you know, your cat and your dog can enjoy the webpage
as well.
And you don't have to subscribe to the dog radio,
your neighbors,
the dog TV network. You can just have your animals.
I didn't realize how important it is to pet love. Yes, support your pets, support your children, support your seniors, support everybody, and support progressivism.
Call 877-500-5266.
877-500-5266.
Or go online to KBOO.fm. Right, try again. KBOO.fm. And you can click on the tip jar. You can become a member that way. You become a part of a community that you didn't even know it would feel so good to join.
I'll just jump in and add that the real basic level of medical knowledge empowerment would be to know when you can treat yourself at home and know when you need to go to the doctor. And if you can treat yourself at home, how to do it. So if you're interested in that information, to have that information handy at home from an educated person who's not just a medical doctor, but someone steeped in the traditions of herbal medicine and naturopathic medicine, then you should look into getting a copy of Healthy at Home for the $60 pledge at 877-500-5266. And we're back again with Dr. Tiarona Lodog, the author of Healthy at Home, Get Well and Stay Well Without Prescriptions. So, Dr. Lodog, can you talk about some of your favorite immune boosters?
I think there's so many that you can use. I think the other thing is that sometimes people forget, you don't have to always think of them as a medicine that you have to take every day, right? One of the ones I love are things like astragalus. Astragalus is an herb that's kind of in the same family that people may have heard of, you know, loco weed, astragalus. It's a non-toxic, very safe root that is used and consumed widely in soups and stews over in Asia, in China particularly. I love astragalus, and during the winter months when I want to sort of give a little extra respiratory immune protection, when I'm making soup, I will just throw one of these long slivers of roots. They look kind of like old-fashioned tongue depressors. They really do. They're sort of sliced long horizontally, and they look like an old tongue depressor, and I'll just throw it in the soup and let it cook for 15, 25 minutes, and then take it out because you don't want to eat it. It is like eating a tongue depressor, and then I'll serve the soup, and it does not impart any poor flavor to the soup. And sometimes patients will say, well, I don't really make soup. And I said, well, you can buy Amy's, an Amy's soup, or if you're not of that, if you buy stuff at the other stores, you can get Progresso or something like this that's nutritious, and put it in a saucepan and just throw the astragalus, and do this once or twice a week during the really bad cold and flu season. Astragalus revs up the immune system, but particularly it increases something called IL-2 in your nasal secretions, which really help rev up that protection from what in Chinese medicine we would say the exterior trying to move interior, right? So from all the germs that people are exposed to that make their way into our nasal passages. So I love astragalus, but I don't think you have to take it every day as a supplement. I think you can actually just add it to your food. The same thing with shiitake mushrooms. These are delicious, and maitake too. These are delicious mushrooms that have a tremendous amount of health benefits, including, shiitake mushrooms have all of the essential amino acids. It contains B12. It even is very rich in vitamin D2, which is one of the few plant sources of vitamin D that you can get. And so just adding these, cooking them and adding them to your dishes several times a week during these cold and flu seasons can do wondrous, you know, benefits for your health. And the reason I mention this is because when we talk about food as your medicine, I really mean food as your medicine. Trying to use some of these medicinal food herbs, incorporating more of them, like garlic and onions, little trips of garlic. If you like cooking with garlic, you can still get all the health benefits. But the way to do this is to crush the garlic, put it in a little olive oil, let it sit for 10 minutes. By the time it's sat for 10 minutes, the enzymes have already acted now upon these critical components in garlic. And now you can actually heat them without destroying them. Because the problem is if you just cook your garlic right away, You destroy the enzymes, so you don't get the release of these wonderful compounds. But adding garlic and onions to your food, I mean, we eat a lot of garlic around our house. And, of course, this is beneficial for your respiratory as well as your GI system. So there are just a few ways, you know, kefir. Have, you know, if you consume dairy products, get Greek yogurt loaded in probiotics, or drink kefir milk with, you know, rich in probiotics. Add some of these dairy products, if you're not sensitive to them, into your diet on a regular basis. Use food to enhance the immune system.
I was really intrigued by your garlic honey vinegar recipe, and also some of the research that you found around honey and coughing.
Isn't it amazing that honey in children, children 1 to 5 years of age were studied, and they found that giving 2 teaspoons of honey at night was as effective as our over-the-counter cough remedies, and possibly superior. I like garlic and honey. I also love thyme and honey for children and for big people too. But honey is very versatile. Remember, for a cough, it could be, you know, you could use a pasteurized honey, but in general, try to buy raw local honey when you can. The reason why is that raw honey, when it hasn't been heated, the enzymes haven't been destroyed, which also make it a very potent antibacterial agent that you can also apply topically to the skin. Honey's been used more than 5,000 years for wounds, and now we are finding in modern research that indeed honey not only helps with a cough, but it also is highly effective when placed onto a wound to prevent infection, including MRSA infections, MRSA. There's a study going on right now with soldiers out in the field looking at premedicated honey wraps to be applied in the field as a battle dressing to prevent MRSA, which we're seeing more and more of now in combat. So think about, if we're using it in that way, what just raw honey could do for you on minor cuts and scrapes and skin knees and things like that. Clean it out and then pack it with honey. Keeps it moist and helps it from being infected.
And back to colds and using honey instead of over-the-counter cough suppressants, what are some of the downsides of using the over-the-counter cold medications with children?
Well,
I know there's been,
right,
that's been in the news recently.
It has. And it was because during the years between 2005 and 2008, there were more than 60,000 poison control contacts around children taking the amount of cold and cough prescriptions, over-the-counter prescriptions, using it appropriately. There were more than 60,000 reports and more than 20 deaths, many, many visits to the emergency room. And this is because many of these medications, these over-the-counter medications, contained multiple drugs, antihistamines, decongestants, etc. Some of them caused problems with children's hearts. And so the pediatric community asked the FDA to do something about it. That is why today when you go and buy an over-the-counter cough remedy or cold remedy for children, it will say not for use under the age of 4, and consult your physician in a child 4 to 6 years of age, because we really wanted to cut this down. Since the FDA mandated those warnings on these over-the-counter products, emergency rooms visits for these types of problems dropped 50% within the first 18 months. So, staggeringly effective. But many parents then wonder, well, what do I do with my 3-year-old who's got the snotty nose and the cough and is staying up all night? And this is why in the American Journal of Family Medicine, The scenario was a child age 1 to 5 who clearly had a viral upper respiratory infection with nasal congestion and cough. The recommendation was was to give honey at night before bed, and that was given a grade A or a level A, highest endorsement of recommendation you could give for a child between the ages of 1 and 5. I'll just tell you, you can use it in bigger people too, but for these young kids that we don't use over-the-counter medications, then this was given a grade A recommendation by the medical community. Think about that.
It seems too good to be true, but then you see also the study. You see the studies about like saltwater gargles, for instance, something so simple you can do at home that both lower the incidence of colds and shorten their duration. And that seems to have been shown in pretty well-designed studies.
I love salt water. My grandmother used to use sage and salt gargle. And, you know, when I got older, I just used salt because I thought, you know, well, you don't need the sage, just use the salt. And then there were two studies conducted, actually quite large studies. One was a placebo control that used a sage gargle against just a placebo gargle. And it found that within 2 hours of using it, you had considerable pain relief from your sore throat. The second study was sage and echinacea compared to chlorhexidine and lidocaine. So most people know what lidocaine is, so it's a strong anesthetic. And there was absolutely no difference in pain relief with the sage and echinacea than there was with the chlorhexidine and lidocaine. So for me, I've gone back to the old sage and salt gargle, and I wondered, how in the world did my grandmother know this? You know,
it's
how
fascinating.
Did they figure these things out so long ago that now modern science is putting it to the test and saying, yes, there was wisdom in what your grandmother did.
So to give our listeners an example of how Healthy at Home educates people around when they should seek care outside of the home, you mentioned that fever is usually a friend. It's not something we should automatically try to suppress. And also that a lot of these common illnesses can be addressed sufficiently and effectively at home with natural remedies. When let's go back to the issue of a parent with a sick child, what should they be looking for that would suggest that their infection shouldn't be treated at home?
Right. And throughout the book, I put when you should like go to the emergency room and when you could just call your doctor or your naturopath or your healthcare provider. I was pretty specific to make this more broad because you may have a variety of healthcare practitioners that help you along your journey. But I was pretty specific in there to give parents some sense of, gosh, this is not normal. So a child, for instance, who's under the age of 2 months with any fever really should be taken in. Little babies that are under 2 months of age with any kind of fever need to be evaluated. Elder people, 70 years and older, who appear ill, even if they don't have fever, they're not eating well, they're having nausea, loss of appetite, they're sleeping excessively, lots of things that are just abnormal for their daily pattern. You should call your healthcare provider or consider taking them in. As I said, many of them can't mount a fever. A child who complains of one leg hurting and is mounting a fever, a child that has a horrible headache and maybe some neck stiffness. I mean, there's any child that has a rash with a fever, especially a rash that when you press it, it doesn't blanch. It doesn't sort of fade and then come back. Any of these kinds, a child that's been out of the country and you've just come back and now the child has a fever. Any child with 103 fever for more than 3 days should be seen. So there's a whole range of these indicators that I provide for children as well as for elders. I don't call them the elderly in my book. I think there's something in the language when we refer to our elders versus the elderly. But I also made indications for them of when you should also be taking them in because they may have an absence of a fever. So,
and when you mentioned
the book is designed to really help you discern from minor and more severe infections.
When you mentioned earlier that our elders don't mount a good fever response, and we also know, say, with the flu vaccine, that they don't mount a very good immune response when they get the flu vaccine, even though they need it the most, would that be a case where astragalus would be a good thing to take ongoing to help boost white blood cell production and other immune function?
I definitely think that in elders, adding these kinds of, even if it's a supplement, having them take them two or three times a week, elderberry, I also think can, you know, elderberry can be used on a daily basis, just like you could drink, you know, elderberry juice or elderberry wine. But elderberry tablets are, don't contain all the sugar and are quite tasty. For many of my older patients, I recommend a variety of these things throughout the winter, including probiotics and other things. And before they get their Pneumovax or their flu vaccine, one of their vaccinations that they're getting in their elder years, I also put them on ginseng for 7 to 10 days before the vaccination and 7 to 10 days. I tell them to keep it on afterwards. Because we've actually seen that ginseng helps your body mount a bigger immune response to the vaccination. So this is important, especially for elders. They wonder maybe what, you know, well, I got the flu, how come my vaccine didn't work? Well, sometimes it could have been the wrong strain, so you may not have gotten a vaccination that covered the strain that you have. But more common in our very elder people, it's because they were not able to mount a good enough antibody response, immune response, to be able to make it effective. So ginseng is something else that we've seen. I use this in my patients, you know, that are going to be undergoing chemotherapy that we may want to vaccinate prior to their chemotherapy, making sure that they take their ginseng prior to kind of rev up their response to that vaccination.
That's really fascinating. We're gonna invite Joe and Barbara back in, and then when we come back again, Dr. Lodog, I'd love to talk about insomnia and stress and anxiety, which I'm sure we have some listeners out there who are unfortunately suffering from. So Joe and Barbara, tell our listeners how they can get a copy.
Insomnia, stress, well, you want to talk about stress? I'll show you stress. We don't have enough money. We need money. No, sorry. let me regain my dignity, my presence of mind, and remind all of you out there that KBOO is the only live and lively progressive voice on radio in the region. You don't want us to disappear. You want us to live on and triumph in glory in the name of all the things that you care about, really, that you care about. And in order to do that, what is required of you as a listener and a participant and a member of our community is the simple act of contributing a few bucks. A few bucks, like maybe $10 a month, maybe $5 a month, to KBOO. And the way to do that is to make a phone call. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. You know, you'll sleep a lot better if you do.
It reduces stress.
Reduces stress.
Definitely reduces stress.
Makes you feel like you have empowered.
And I want to thank several people who have reduced great deal the stress here at KBOO by becoming members or renewing their membership. Carol in Beaverton renewed. Deborah in Eagle Creek renewed. Leah from Portland renewed. Tom from Warrington renewed. Jason from Southeast Portland's a new member. And Roxanne renewed from Willamina, Oregon. And we're getting a lot of renewals, and we really love renewals. But we want you who've just discovered KBOO or who have been listening for many, many years without becoming a member to take the step, take the plunge, become part of the surge, and join KBOO. Become a member by calling 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm. Clicking on the tip jar, and you can become part of this incredible movement that has been traveling through the airwaves in Portland for 45 plus years, changing the way people in Portland think, behave, eat, act, do all kinds of things.
And the music is so good. 877-500-5266.
And if you call right now, you can get a copy of the book we've been listening to the author speaking with David Naiman today. She's Tira Rona Lodog, doctor, that is.
And doctor, her, MD, real.
Yes, but she's an integrated physician.
Integrative medicine.
So she brings together all kinds of natural and allopathic medicine. And it's an amazing book, and it will help keep you healthy after you do that first healthy act by calling KBOO at 877-500-5266. So for a $60 pledge, you can get a copy of this book, Healthy at Home, and you can continue to take everything you've learned on the show today and just have it with you on your library for the rest of your life.
877-500-5266. Call now.
We're back with Dr. Tirona Lodog, the author of Healthy at Home. Dr. Lodog, let's talk a little bit about insomnia and secondarily about stress. How do you start approaching this with patients? It's such a multifactorial issue and one that seems to be one people go to the doctor often for medication.
Right. Well, I do think sleep is an elusive companion for many, and that people don't that it takes time to learn how to surrender to sleep. People try to force sleep, so inevitably they want an herb. I am going to run like crazy all day long. I'm going to get up early in the morning, and I'm going to get the kids all dressed, and I'm going to get lunches, and I'm going to race everybody to the buses, and then I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to work hard all day, and then I'm going to come home, I'm going to help them with their homework, and I'm going to throw the laundry, and I'm going to do the dishes, I'm going to make the dinner, I'm going to, you know, then I'm going to take a shower, and then at 9:45, I'm going to take a valerian pill, and I'm not asleep at 10, and I don't understand why. And when you listen to people story around this, and you know this as a doctor, it's a lot of what we do is listen to people's stories, because eventually when you listen to the story long enough, all of the answers that you need are found within those stories. And so for many people, it's that inability to sort of prepare for sleep, to begin to consciously prepare to slow down and to surrender to sleep, and to acknowledge that there will be nights when you won't sleep well, and that maybe you'll get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and get out of bed, and you may read, and then quietly go back to bed at 2:30, and that those kind of nights you begin to welcome instead of dread. But sleeping is an interesting phenomena. I think that we also have this interpretation that people throughout time fell asleep, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, and then just slept straight through till six and got up and were rested. And that's actually not true. All of the research really to date shows that, you know, people and our ancestors, they had several periods of waking and sleeping at night. This was probably because they had to tend fires. They had to feed children. When people were all living in one room together, you know, couples would make love in the middle of the night after the children had gone to sleep, et cetera. So there was this interrupted sleep that was common for people. So today we think there's something wrong if we wake up in the middle of the night, when actually that's probably just thousands of years of biology working with us. The trick is what do you do when you wake up, and then how do you get yourself back to sleep? So we talk about this in the book, and we talk about, you know, sleep hygiene and things that you can do to help you prepare for sleep. One of the big things that I would say today is the blue light that comes from computer screens and iPads and televisions that people have in their bedroom. But even worse than a television is that computer screen that's only 10 inches from your retina. And blue light, like what the sun puts out, right? That's why the sky is blue. But blue light tells your body that it is daytime and it is time to be up and awake and moving and doing things. So when you have that blue light coming into your retina, it's literally suppressing melatonin and telling you it's daytime. So if you're doing this till 9:30 or 9:45 and then you're shutting it off and trying to go to sleep, your melatonin has been suppressed now, and now it's got to start to rise so that the body temperature can fall and sleep can ensue. So there are free software programs you can install on your computer. One is just called F.lux, and you can just Google that, and F.lux you can put on your computer and put in your zip code and where you live, and all it does is essentially change your backlight on your computer from bright blue in the morning to a red in the evening, so that if you are on your computer, that you're not suppressing melatonin. Red light, just like fire, people used to sleep around the fire. Fire doesn't suppress melatonin. Red light has no impact on melatonin. So red lights can be used at night. Many people may not remember, but little alarm clocks that used to go on the side of the bed, many of them had blue lights in them. Now almost all of them have red lights and red digits, because they don't suppress sleep when you have them by your bedside. So I do like melatonin. I like melatonin for people, especially older people and young children who don't have, who have a difficult time sleeping. A lot of my kids with ADD are on things like Ritalin or Concerta, and they have a horrible time sleeping. Melatonin can be useful for this. But remember, melatonin usually needs to be taken, you know, at least 60 minutes before bed, oftentimes 90 minutes before bed. Because it takes time for it to build in your body. I usually recommend what the Europeans have approved, which is 2 milligrams of a sustained-release melatonin for sleep.
And then do you often supplement that with herbs as well, or do you find that sufficient?
I love herbs, and the herb really depends upon the individual. People who don't have a hard time falling asleep but have a hard time waking up, that can be a myriad of things. People who wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and can't ever go back to sleep. For that, I like things, you know, I may use for acute treatment things like hops and passion flower and valerian, that combination. But for long term, I will often shift them over to an herb we call ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an herb that is grown and harvested mostly in the Indian subcontinent. And ashwagandha's botanical name, Wathania somniferum, actually means to induce sleep, right? And it is what we consider an adaptogen. When taken once or twice a day for a period of 6 to 8 weeks, many, many people find that they fall asleep easy, they stay asleep, they feel calmer throughout the day, they feel calm but focused. Ashwagandha is a wonderful, wonderful remedy for people who are what I call wired and tired. People who just are just on the go all the time. At 7:30 at night, they're exhausted, but they still can't get a good night's sleep. So in those people, I tend to think more of ashwagandha as a more long-term kind of adaptogen versus the more rapid kind of hops. Passion flower, vervain, these type of herbs that can be used just to help you drift off to sleep on occasion, or even for a few weeks.
Dr. Lodog, we're going to invite Barbara back into the studio and then have you back to talk some final thoughts in a couple minutes. So, Barbara, let's tell our listeners how people can get a copy of Healthy at Home if they make a $60 pledge.
Well, the easiest way to do it is to call right now at 877-500-5266. And you can also go online to our website, kboo.fm, and click on the tip jar, become a member. And I do believe for a minimum $60 pledge, you will get a copy of Healthy at Home by Tiraona Lodog. Dr. Tira Lodog, and it's quite an amazing book. Joe and I have both been like pawing through this book while we've been listening to the interview, and I was thinking how this book is about simple remedies, and that's awful lot like what Kebu is in many ways. We are a simple remedy to many of the things that could be overwhelming here in this rapidly changing and sometimes spiraling downward world, a world that becomes more and more dependent on the outside on high-tech fixes and disconnection. Here at KBOO, we're about keeping things as low-tech as possible in terms of maintaining interpersonal relationships. I think that's a real key thing here at KBOO. And what we've been listening to for the last almost hour here on David's show is looking at ways that we can take control over our own healing, our own body health, and doing things at home with healthy things as opposed to potentially very dangerous pharmaceuticals that keep us healthy. You can think of KBOO as an alternative to dangerous pharmaceuticals of the airwaves. Here we are, a listener-sponsored and volunteer-powered radio station. We are part of the community. We represent the community. We connect to the community and we report back on the community, whether we're doing public affairs and news programming or whether we're going to be doing music, which there's right now a band setting up to play in the next hour. And they are local musicians who are going to be helping us with our pledge drive and providing you with some music you wouldn't hear anywhere else. So you can support all of this, which is really an important thing to do right now since we're in our pledge drive. You can support us by calling 877-500-5266 or going online at kboo.fm. And I want to thank a couple more people who have joined up new members here at KBOO who called in during the last half hour. Ed from Sandy, who's a new member, and Lori from Battleground, a renewing member. So you can do as Ed and Lori did. Give a call at 877-500-5266 or join online at kboo.fm. And David, I really like the opportunity to be able to pitch on your show, since I am a big fan of your show and I listen to it just about every week. And I wonder what brings you to KBOO and what makes you want to come here even in a snowy day like today to do your show for... You're doing it not because you're getting paid well.
Well, at the top of the hour, we were talking with Dr. Lodog about the loss of basic knowledge, partially because of the fracturing of community and the loss of accumulated history. And you mentioned that I used to engineer your show many years ago, Locus Focus, and now I host Health Watch, and I also was answering phones earlier today. But it feels like KBOO is sort of a ever-growing family of multiple types of connection and a way to be involved and rebuild community, just like this book, Healthy at Home, is about sort of restoring and giving people access to information that's inexpensive and been proven to be effective, that is not really being put forth anymore out at large.
So KBOO is inexpensive too. In fact, for a lot of people, it's so inexpensive that it's free. But KBOO actually isn't free. We need your support to be able to bring you programs like David's Health Watch every week and like all the other informative and adventurous public affairs and news programming that we do, and the independent music that we play every day, and that the live bands that we bring in, like we're going to be bringing in very shortly. And we could use your support right now. We need you to call right now at at 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm and become a member that way by clicking on the tip jar and supporting programs like Health Watch, which David does every week faithfully, coming out in the snow and the ice as he did today. And he was here actually before I was, answering telephones this morning. So anybody who went out this morning before 9 o'clock was definitely having a little bit of an adventure. But here at KBOO, it's a 24-hour-a-day adventure, because you, in many ways, don't know quite what to expect on the airwaves here. We are free, within reason, within limits, to really express ourselves and to be able to express the needs of the listeners. We do this through having an ear to what the community is about. We do this because we have so many direct connections with many different parts of the community. So join the KBOO community right now. Call 877-500-5266. Online, kboo.fm. Become a member of KBOO. And back to you, David.
We're back with Dr. Tiarona Lodog, the author of Healthy at Home, Get Well and Stay Well Without Prescriptions. So in our final minutes, Dr. Lodog, unfortunately, we didn't get to talk about how to build our own medicine cabinets at home, or or even how to make our own medicines, which you spend a lot of time really demystifying. Very simple things that people can do at home to either buy or to create their own medicines, that have now been borne out not just through cumulative wisdom of generations, but through science, scientific studies. But do you have some final thoughts for our listeners today? And maybe if people are curious about you, do you have a web presence if people wanted to go find you on the web?
Oh, thank you. First, I just want to thank you for being such a wonderful host, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. I do have a website. It's drlodog.com, D-R-L-O-W-D-O-G, just like it sounds, drlodog.com. And there are some videos and tips and resources there that may be of benefit for people. And finally, I'd just like to say that one of the greatest gifts that we can remember is that our bodies have an infinite wisdom, that our bodies are much stronger than we know, and that our bodies were designed for healing, for self-healing, and that for many of the minor kinds of problems that afflict us, you know, from headaches to cramps to colds and coughs and things like this, that there are many, many sort of gentle things that you can do to support the body's process without stopping the process. A lot of things that we do actually get in the way of the body's ability to heal. So never, never underestimate the wisdom and the ability of your body to heal. It's one of your greatest gifts, actually.
So in terms of stopping the process, you mean, for instance, like blocking stomach acid, for instance, versus
exactly.
finding out the cause?
I talk about that a lot. We'll just stop that. Think of all the antis we have in conventional medicine, anti-inflammatories, antibiotics, you know, proton pump inhibitors. I mean, there are lots of things that we do that suppress to a large degree a bodily process. The problem is that when you suppress, like stomach acid, when you suppress it so completely, the body in its wisdom goes, oh my gosh, we're not making enough acid. So it makes many, many more acid pumps so that when you try to go off that proton pump inhibitor, you have a whole army now of acid making pumps inside of your stomach, which is why people, it's been shown, they have so much difficulty weaning themselves off a proton pump inhibitor. Those drugs increase your risk of fracture. They drive magnesium levels to a very dangerously low level. They impair B12 absorption, especially in people over the age of 50. They contribute to iron deficiency, anemia, especially in elders. They increase your risk for pneumonia. I mean, I just want you to think all of these things from shutting off stomach acid. And there's so many other ways to deal with it. So stomach acid is good. Stomach acid is your friend. We want to make sure in the small number of people who really have what we call erosive esophagitis that we take care of that. That may actually mean you need a proton pump inhibitor. But many of the people who we prescribe these to, it's not medically indicated nor necessary, and it puts people at unnecessary risk.
Well, Dr. Lodog, it was a real pleasure to have you back on Health Watch, and I really, really did enjoy Healthy at Home.
Thank you so much, and thank you again for having me.
We're talking today with Dr. Tiarona Lodog, the author of Healthy at Home, Get Well and Stay Well Without Prescriptions, which I believe you can get at the $60 pledge by calling 1-877-500-5266. Stay tuned for the rest of the Monday Morning Radio Zine.
You're listening to KBOO in Portland, 90.7 FM. Hold it just a second here. It's our annual pledge drive here. One of the few times a year we come out and ask you for your support, but right now it is time for the Noontime Jamboree.
Well, I've been hounding her for such a long time, trying to impress her with my hillbilly wine, but she told me I was barking up the wrong tree. She liked every kind of music but country. Every kind of music but country. She liked it fast, she liked it loud, she liked it funky. She liked everything about me except for one thing. She liked every kind of music but country. Well, I thought I had a big one on the line. She said listening to music was her favorite pastime, but she told me I was trying to swim upstream. She liked every kind of music but country. Every kind of music but country. She liked it fast, she liked it loud, she liked it funky. She liked everything about me except for one thing. She liked every kind of music.
Whistle the wearing of the green. I got that monetary itis, like to be just like King Midas. I want the golden touch, that's what I mean. Give me that old double eagle, I want that tender that is legal and financially substantial, any sum I can inveigle. I want to live in regal splendor with that loving legal tender. Give me money, 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 money. Back